I would ask you if you had a nice afternoon, but I know that you did.
Yes.
I hope it wasn't lost on none of you that I wore blue today. No, not for the reason you think. But we're glad that you're here. And we want to finish our lesson this evening. We looked at enough is enough. And we talked about, does God reveal His Word through any other method or any other mode than the Bible? And we looked at some other books that claim the mark of inspiration. And we looked at some men who have claimed that they work for God, and they are messengers, and they are spokespersons for God. And we examined that they fall short of the biblical proof and the biblical qualifications to speak for God. But tonight I want to talk to you about some reasons. Reasons why continuous revelation does not occur today. On this slide, pictured is John Hagee. He's a very prominent Baptist preacher in San Antonio, Texas. And he has become a modern-day prophet concerning the state of Israel. And he has preached exclusively and extensively about the premillennial theory that we've been studying about in the book of Daniel. The thing that's interesting about Mr. Hagee is that he bases his conclusion on modern day events. If you go back and you listen to Mr. Hagee's sermons 10 years ago, he will not preach Daniel and Revelation and Ezekiel like he did 10 years ago. Today he preaches it in a very different way. He preaches it because he based his conclusions on modern day events. And as modern day events change, therefore he changes the prophecy to have a different meaning. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the way God's prophecy works. What it meant when he wrote it is what it means, is what it meant then and what it means now. And so, he's not a modern day prophet, he's just another one of those people who gives his opinion. Excuse me. So I want to look at a few reasons why modern day revelation is not something that happens today. Reason number one is because Jesus said the apostles would be led into all truth. Take your Bibles on and turn to John chapter 14. And in verse number 26, let me set the tone for you. This is a private conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples prior to his betrayal. And in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he is giving them what we would call his final instruction. And in that private discussion that was with him and 11 men, because Judas has already went out to finish his work in betraying the Lord in verse 31 of chapter 13, but in the chapters 14, 15, and 16, he tells the apostles the reason and the purpose of what the Holy Spirit will do. Notice what he says. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all things that I have said to you. I want you to notice the terminology. He's going to teach them all things. He's going to bring all things that he taught them to the remembrance. How much is all things? All things means exactly that. It means all things. But he goes on in chapter 16 and verse 12 and 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, I want you to notice the terminology again is that he's going to guide them into all truth. Now, the major mistake made by many in the religious world is they seek to apply this verse to the modern day prophet. This verse does not apply to anyone except the 11 men that it was given to. This was a promise made to the apostles by Jesus Christ himself. And Judas would be replaced by Matthias, and as the 12, and Paul would be added later. But those men were given the promise that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. Now, brethren, if he guided them into all truth, then there is no more truth remaining to be revealed. All truth means all truth. Now, did he tell us everything we want to know? Of course not. Did he reveal everything that we would have liked to know? No. But they were guided into all the truth that God wanted men to have in order that they might be able to understand God, to understand what God requires of man and what they must do in order to please man and to receive heaven as a reward. And everything that you and I need to equip us to do that has been revealed. There is no modern day apostle. There is no modern day prophet. There is no modern day revelation. Everything that God has said. Let me ask you a question. What is the last will and testament? If you have a will, is that the last word in your life? Is that the last word in what you want done after your death? Can anybody change their will after you die? Nobody can change that. And in Hebrews chapter 9, the last will and testament of Jesus Christ was given when on the day of Pentecost. And that is, the revealed scripture is what that last will and testament is. And nobody can add to that will. It was the Lord's will and it was nobody else's. And so the apostles were guided in all truth. Therefore, I conclude that there is no modern day truth. There is nothing yet to be added. Reason number two. The apostles claim that the truth had been revealed to them. Jesus promised to reveal it to them through the Spirit, and then the apostles told us that it had been revealed. Turn next with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Now notice, you know, brethren, sometimes when we read a passage, we need to get the full import of what it says. This is a simple passage. Look what it says. It says, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. Now let me ask you to glory and virtue. To him who called us by glory and virtue. What did he say? The divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need for life has been given to you. Everything that you have need to know for the knowledge of obtaining godliness, God has given it to you. All things, there's nothing left. Everything that pertains to life here and to godliness that God wants to have as our character has been revealed to us through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge that God gave through His Son, that information has been given to us. Look at Acts chapter 20 and look at verse 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 20. This is Paul when he was out preaching and establishing churches in the Gentile world. And he said to the elders at Ephesus in Miletus, he said, how I kept nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. He said he kept back nothing that was helpful. Everything that was needful and helpful to them, Paul told them. And then he goes on in this same chapter, in verse 26 and 27, and he adds this. He says, therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Why, Paul? Why can no man lay his accountability at your feet? Listen to what he said. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Now, brethren, what does the whole counsel of God mean? The whole counsel of God means all of it. He didn't leave out anything. Anything that God wanted man to know, Paul preached it. He preached the whole counsel of God. If there was something left out, Paul didn't know anything about it. Paul wasn't guided by the Holy Spirit. If there was some additional information, Paul didn't know anything about it because he believed that he had the whole counsel of God. And therefore, we must conclude the same. Now, Was Moses able to declare the whole counsel of God? Was it God's purpose to send Moses to declare the whole counsel of God? No. And we know that it wasn't by passages like Deuteronomy 18. What did he say in Deuteronomy 18? The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Now let us stop there for a minute. This prophet is going to be one like Moses. What do we know about Moses? Moses was a lawgiver. Christ the right lawgiver? Yes. What lineage was Moses? He was a Jew. What lineage is Christ? He's a Jew. And so he'd be one of their own brethren. Him you shall hear according to all you desire of the Lord your God in Hebron in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. You see, they wanted to know the whole counsel of God, but it had not been revealed yet. This passage goes on in verse 17 and 18. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up a prophet. Remember, we don't want to hear the Lord's voice anymore. We're afraid. We don't want to hear it. You talk to God and then you talk to us. But notice what Moses was told. Moses said, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, like Moses, from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them, here's this word again, all that I command him. Now, did he say that to the Pope? Was he that prophet? Was Joseph Smith that prophet? Was Muhammad that prophet? Was it some modern day prophet that we know today? Was that the prophet that God promised to send? Or was this prophet the one that was his son? Who fits this description? Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to read you a passage before we show the next chart in John chapter 1. You know, John the Baptist was the forerunner to Jesus. And he came on the scene, and the scribes and Pharisees sent some people there to find out who he was. And in John chapter 1, and verse 19, they said, now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed, and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the chosen one. I'm not the one that was God going to send. But he didn't stop there. They said, what then? Are you Elijah? Remember Malachi said there would be one that would come in the spirit of Elijah. They said, are you Elijah reincarnated to come back into the world? No. He says, I am not. Then they said, are you the prophet? What prophet? What prophet are they talking about? They're talking about the prophet of Deuteronomy 18. He knew that he wasn't that prophet. But you know who he pointed him to? He pointed him to the man that would follow him. The one that would follow him. And that would be the prophet. And the man that followed him was Jesus Christ. That was the prophet. It wasn't anyone else. It was the Son of God. And that prophet, you have to speak. He'll speak all the words that I've commanded him. There's not anything else that God's going to say. He said everything he's going to say. There's no latter day revelation. There's no other message. There's no other will. If you don't accept this, there is nothing else. This is all there's going to be. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 42 for a moment. Isaiah was a prophet, but he didn't declare the whole counsel of God. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom I soul delight. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor use his voice to be heard in the street. Now this is after Deuteronomy 18. This is after Moses' statement in Deuteronomy 18. And Moses in Deuteronomy 18 and Isaiah in chapter 42 is talking about the same person. This is another prophet that would come after Moses. And it's talking about Christ. Look at verse 3 and 4. He makes it even more emphatic. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice and truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he establishes justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. Now who was not quenched? Who was not quenched? Who brought justice and truth? And who didn't fail? Who is that? There's only one person that fits that description, and it's Jesus Christ. It's no one else. And then look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah continues. He followed. He's after Isaiah. Look what Jeremiah said. Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Jeremiah said there's going to be another covenant. There's going to be a new covenant. There's going to be a new law. What law is that? That's the law of Christ. Read the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews goes in great detail about the better covenant, the better promises, and the better law. That's the law of Christ. And then Malachi, in Malachi 3 verse 1, the last book in the Old Testament, it says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Now who's this talking about? It's talking about John the Baptist. But notice what it points to. It doesn't point to that messenger. He's going to prepare the way before me. Who is me? Me is Jesus Christ. He's going to prepare the way for Christ. And he's going to have his own covenant. And he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And remember, we just read John chapter 1. When John came on the scene and they questioned him and said, are you that prophet? Are you the one that Moses talked about? Are you the one Isaiah talked about? Are you the one that Jeremiah talked about? And Malachi, are you that prophet? And he said, no, I'm not. And let me tell you something, brethren. It wasn't Joseph Smith. It wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't Benny Hinn. It wasn't John Hagin. It wasn't any other man. That prophet was Jesus Christ. And that prophet has come and went back to heaven. And he left his last will and testament to guide us until he comes again to receive those who have been faithful. That's what the book says. Well, I believe what the book says. Now, contrast that with the claims of the new covenant. Now, remember Jeremiah said there was a new covenant? What does the new covenant say? Look at 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. You know this passage. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. What's that mean? That means God breathed. That means when you open your Bible and when you read it, you are communicating with God. It's as if God was sitting here and talking to you like I could talk to Jerry. This is God communicating to us. And how much of it is inspired? All of it. All of it. And what's it for? It's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, that is reprimanding, correction, to correct what's wrong, and for instruction in righteousness. Why, Lord? That the man of God may be, see this word here? Complete. The King James Version says perfect. And that means the same thing. It means complete. It means finished. And thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. You know, man calls a lot of things good works today. But let me tell you, if God didn't label it, it's not a good work. It doesn't make any difference how much good you think it does. If it's not in the book, if that good work has not been taught in the book, it didn't come from God, it originated with man. And God says everything that you need to make you complete, to make you perfect, to make you equipped to do every good work that I've sent you to do and expect you to do, I've given that information to you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's either the truth or it's not. Now, brethren, that is either a true statement or it's a lie. It can't be both. It's one or the other. Either that is a true statement that is backed up by other scripture, or we have been misled. Which is it? We have been given all truth. Now, number three is that God has revealed His will once for all time. Now, I want you to take your Bibles out, and I want you to open them, first of all, to Jude verse 3. Now, Jude is the book that's before Revelation. What does perfect mean? It means complete. It means mature. Now you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. How are we complete? When we're obedient to His will. That's how we're complete. God's Word gives us the power to be complete, to be perfect. In Matthew 19, verse 21, it says, Jesus said to them, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. This was said to the rich young ruler because his problem was he had his riches and he trusted in them more than he trusted in God. James 1, 25. What's it mean when something's perfect? Can you make something perfect better? You could try, but it'd kind of be futile, wouldn't it? If it's perfect, it doesn't need to be made better, does it? If something's complete, what else you have to do to it? It's like you buy a product, and you get the directions out, and you put it together just like the direction says, and it's complete. Now how are you going to make it better? I'll tell you how we think we can make it better. We can put it together without the instructions, and then we got three or four pieces there at the end, and we don't know what to do with them. Well, they're not important. We'll get rid of them. And then your thing doesn't work and you don't know why. You see, complete means finished. It means it's done. There is nothing else. I'm glad I'm not the only one that's hot tonight. Last, how plain can this be? How plain could God be? Listen to what he said. Even if an angel... Now, I'm not an angel. And if an angel came from heaven and preached to you a message that's different from what's revealed here, what did God say? He said, what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so say I now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel than you, than that which he received, let him be accursed. That's why I don't believe Benny Hinn. That's why I don't believe John Hagee. That's why I don't believe the Pope. That's why I don't believe Muhammad, and that's why I don't believe the Quran or anything else, because it's not from God. And if it's not from God, I don't want to listen, because it's a danger to my soul. The other day, you got a new revelation? Joel Osteen does. Rod Parsley down in Columbus has a membership of over 7,000 at his Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio. Oh, you can pack them in if you give them a different message. But brethren, I don't want what that's going to cost for me to preach a different message. I got a letter the other day from someone who didn't sign it about my radio program. And said that he was a brother in Louisville, which I find strange since he didn't want to sign the letter, but that's up between him, I guess. But he said he had a friend living here in Harrodsburg that had been listening to the radio program for some time, but she's turned my program on the last couple of months, and she's become discouraged, and she has quit listening to it because she thinks that I'm hateful. And she's a Baptist. And she'd been listening to the program for years, but it's not moved her to leave the Baptist faith. But when I begin to preach something distinctive, that makes her angry. What have I been talking about the last couple of weeks? The identifiers of the Lord's church. Would that make someone who's in a denomination angry? If I said their faith could not be found by those identifiers? Yes. A couple weeks before that, I talked about those things that are not found in the Word of God. What do we do about that? Brethren, here's the point. If preaching doesn't move somebody out of error, then they're not getting it. If they're not moved to remove themselves out of what they know to be false, then either they're not listening or they don't understand. Because, brethren, this is what truth will do. Truth will make you make a decision. When you put truth against error, error is always going to look terrible. And the truth is going to look narrow. That is the nature of the beast. And I'm telling you, these people can pack Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen filled the Atlanta Amphitheater for four straight nights. And they paid to listen to him. Rod Parsley, it goes all over the world saying that he's a modern day prophet. And they have thousands of followers. Brethren, that does not mean that they speak for God. You know why I know that? Because their message does not line up with this message. You remember the title of my sermon? Enough is enough. This is all I want. I want no more. I want no less. And anything that goes beyond or does not attain to what's in this book, I will not listen. I will not follow it. And I will not say that it came from God. Because all that I need, God has revealed to me. And enough is enough. What God has told me will get me to heaven if I'll follow it, if I'll obey it, and if I love Him more than I love myself. That will get me there. Now, brethren, we need today, we need to quit being ashamed of who we are and what we represent. We need to be kind. We don't need to be ugly. We don't need to be haughty, and we don't need to be arrogant. But we should never be ashamed of having the truth. You know what's a great tragedy to me, ladies and gentlemen, tonight? Is that there are people going from door to door that have more faith in their false doctrine than we do in the truth. They're more ready to talk about it than we are, and we have the truth. Something wrong with that picture. We should not be ashamed of the truth. And we should take every opportunity men provide us with to share with them the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. For it is the only thing that can save them. And Romans 1 verse 16, the last passage tonight. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, the answer is in the book. It tells us how to become a Christian, tells us how to live, tells us what God demands. And if we follow that path, if we follow that instruction, God has promised to add us to His church, to make us a member of His kingdom. And if we remain faithful to the day we die, when the Lord comes again, He'll reward us with the eternal home with Him in heaven. That's what the good book says. That's what I believe. That's what I'll preach. And that's what I'll hang my hat on. And if we can help you any way tonight to do that, to make that your known tonight to us, and we'll be ready to help you, please come forward as together we stand, as we sing.